Radio. Hello, everybody. Hello, I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to the Kay and Gus Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We are your news and information station and global communications nation. We're blogcasting or broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. By the way, Gus Henningberg is my partner, and he is listening in, and he's recouping. So, you know, if you want to call in and say something to Gus, it's absolutely fine because he is listening in. He's recouping, and he'll be back in a couple of more weeks, we hope, okay? Just to let you know, a couple of things. We're going to be talking to our special guest today, as a matter of fact. And we have been having quite a conversation here in the studio, just renewing in old times and whatnot. And I'm very, very happy to have Bishop Jethro C. James Jr., who's a senior pastor of Paradise Baptist Church in Newark. Really big church, big congregation, located where, Bishop?
Church, I don't know, big congregation.
That's a lot. That's a lot. But and you've been the pastor there for how long?
I've been there since 1989. We built the edifice that we have now. We started out with about 40 folks and $100,000 seed money, and now you know the church has grown. I never thought I'd see the kind of ministries and whatnot. And if you want to check us out, you can go online at ParadiseBaptistChurch.org, Newark, New Jersey, and face will come up. And this good-looking woman who I'm married to, her face will come up. You can listen to music and just scroll down, go to our website, and it'll tell you what we're doing.
All right, now that's Paradise Baptist Church in Newark. You have a website.
ParadiseBaptistChurch.org. And about three will come up. We're the only one in Newark.
I see. Okay. And again, the street is?
348-352 15th Avenue.
You know why I'm asking.
The corner of Hunterdon Street.
Because I'm coming, and I know that area. And
yeah.
Teaching in South Florida and have the Thompson Day.
I know. Yeah. I mean, everybody was looking at Kay Thompson. Everybody.
I don't know about that. But anyway, yeah, we were over there in that area for a long, long period of time. You know, until we moved after the disturbances and whatnot. That's another story, though.
We could talk about that.
We are going to talk about that. Glad to have you here. This is a real treat. I'm going to tell people, though, before we get into this in some depth, because I have to talk about Gus. You know, we're doing tributes to him. And then we're also going to be doing a tribute to Mal Wolfolk's mother, Dr. Muriel Pepione. There's a doctor in Harlem that everyone knows. She's a community doctor, and she just passed recently. So, and Mal Wolfolk is a good friend from the WLIB BLS days. So we're going to be doing those two tributes. And Gus is listening, so you know, he's recuperating. So we got to, you know.
Well, let me say hello to Gus.
Okay.
And as far as Mel's mother goes, I know Mel from WLIB, and when we were looking to do minority advertisement, because I come from the corporate world at Public Service Electric and Gas Company, and Mel was one of the people that I brought in.
Yeah.
I believe that those of us who God blessed to get to a corporate position had a responsibility to bring others in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a magazine out, Positive Community.
Positive Community.
I brought them in the PSE&G.
And
to this day, they still receive advertisement dollars from PSE&G. And as far
That's Adrian Counselor and Gene Nash. Right.
As far as Mel's mother goes, when you mentioned the name, she has come and lectured. I believe she was about 90 years old. Mm-hmm. Something.
She passed a couple of days ago.
Yes. Yeah. Well, she came to a conference that was held at New York Theological Seminary, and she was honored. And we were doing a conference on gang violence and whatnot, and I was one of the keynote speakers there. And she was brought in, this lovely little lady, and when they said her age, we couldn't believe it.
But
they talked about how she had put her time in. And her ministry was in Harlem, helping with Harlem Hospital and helping set up all of that. And she said something I will never forget. And now looking at her, Mel kind of favors her.
Yeah.
She said something about she just gets up every day and keeps moving.
Ooh, yeah.
And I will never forget that. And until you brought that back to my memory, I didn't even realize that that was Mel's mother.
Yeah, Mel's mother, I'm telling you. Anyway, her memorial service is Monday on the 19th. That's this Monday coming, I think. And it's at Riverside Church, and everybody's working, everybody listening in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, 490 Riverside.
Mm-hmm.
And donations should go to Howard University. As a matter of fact, in the name of Dr. Muriel Petioni, Endowed Scholarship Fund.
Wow.
So she has made this available for, it says here, a scholarship will be given to a deserving Harlem student. I'm assuming that that's going to be a medical student, because she was so involved with, you know, the community and being the, you know, what we used to call, the home, you know, doctors who would always be there.
That's
and
right.
The whole family knew the doctor, and I understand that she was quite a lady. I didn't know her well. I knew her through Mal, but I never had her on the show, or I never, you know, but now I'm going to make that.
Well, now, I remember her, and it's interesting because my wife is a graduate of Howard University,
okay.
So we know we're going to have to send something
yes.
to the school
okay.
in her name. And Mel, we want you to know you have our deepest sympathy, but Mel, you have a legacy. And there's an old song that we sing in the church, Precious Memories, How They Linger.
Yeah.
And so I have the few wonderful memories of your mother. You have so many more. And so I say this to you, Mel, and you need to know this. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so I can imagine her giving God some tips on how she made it over.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to dwell on with him.
And the information that I read in the Times, and also I think it was in the Amsterdam News, was so much information, you know, that I want to tell Ty Washington, who is the head of BW Moving Images right here, that we should be doing a documentary on her life. It is that. She seems like she's that. She's got it. Exciting lady. And, you know, Mal and I have worked together over the years. And so he'll be coming on in a couple of weeks to go on again also. So we're going to try to see if that, if we can do that documentary, because her life was absolutely fascinating.
Oh, fascinating woman. As I said, I met her back last year.
Yeah.
And she came up to New York Theological. By the way, the school is housed right there in Riverside Church.
Uh-huh.
And so she was in familiar territory, and the respect and honor and the accolades that people gave her. And she was so unassuming.
Mm-hmm.
You would never know, you know, this little lady was this great big
powerful lady,
you know.
Well, I can't wait to talk to Mal about this and about other things also. Also, you know, now we're going to go to Gus. I want to tell him to listen in, because I was going to talk about him. And I was giving information about him, you know, last week. And there are just some things that I think people should know, since this is the Kay Thompson and Gus Hannenberg show. Did you know that Gus was born in Alabama? You know?
Didn't know that, but that explains some things, because have I got something to remind you of, Gus? there was one group that got together in Newark, a group, the chairman of my deacon board, he wasn't a deacon then, but Walter Robertson and a crew. And Gus was instrumental in getting them the funding they needed. They opened the first African-American supermarket in the city of Newark.
Okay.
And I've seen the pictures, and they made history. And I'm trying to think, it was either maybe the early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that they were able to open that supermarket, and there's, it was the Star Ledger and every other paper, African-Americans opened the first supermarket.
Yeah.
I didn't say bodega, corner store. They opened a supermarket. And it was because of Gus Hannenberg.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. When I mentioned his name, there's still a couple of those people that are still members of the church.
Yeah.
They're in their 80s now. And they just, they can't say enough about him. And I just mentioned his name a couple of weeks ago after we talked.
Yeah.
And so, Gus, your works and all the stuff that you've been involved in for PS and, oh, God.
Yeah, so many things. We're going to be taking a break around now, a little bit of A little bit of Bob Marley. Yeah. We'll be right back, everyone. I'm Kay Thompson. I am with Bishop Jethro James, and he's the senior pastor of Paradise Baptist Church, and we're going to be talking to him about his being a chaplain for the New Jersey State Police, and this is recruiting to recruit African Americans to the State Police. I'm angry with them. I've been angry with them for years. We'll be right back, everyone. Stand by.
We'll be together with the roof right over our head. We'll share the shelter. Talk my single bed. We'll share the same room. Yeah. Put your drugs by the bread. It's this love that I'm feeling.
Okay, we are back. I'm Kay Thompson, and the other half of the Gus Henningberg show here. Just a couple of things about Gus here. He graduated from Hampton Institute, you know, and in Virginia, moved to Newark as director of alumni affairs. I'm just going to add a few things. Mm-hmm. Created the Love Festival. Did you know that? Wigway Park?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I understand some people try to get a festival going in Wigway Park. This was about a couple months ago. And it was not successful. I know some of the inside stories. I'm not even going to tell you anything about that. But just to say that folks over there in Weathwick need to get their acts a little bit together. This is the internet. You know, this is not major network, so we can reveal a whole lot of stuff. Also, you know, Gus mediated the settlement of the nation's largest public housing rent strike.
That's correct.
At Newark Stellarite Homes,
right.
And returned the management of these homes to the tenants. And you know all the different houses that they have because of what he did with Stellarite. You know, they had the
That's
big
correct.
Strike.
That's correct.
Change public housing for the entire country. So, you know, all about that. And he also chaired the Council of Airport Opportunity, resulting in more minority business people in Newark, at Newark Airport than any other place in the country. Now, I say that to say this, Dr. James, and that is this. New Jersey PAC, you probably saw the same article I saw in the Star Ledger, you know, this morning. And, you know, the other media outlets. I understand that New Jersey PAC is getting ready to they have a development going on.
Yeah.
Not they, but they're going to be doing a joint venture, I think. And I know, anyway, with Prudential, more is in the paper, Prudential is planning on building an office building right across the street in that parking lot there.
Well, what's interesting about that, and I'll go back to my years at PSE&G, and I was an urban development executive.
Mm-hmm.
I have some problems with exactly the development that's going on, because there's really nothing for the residents of Newark. There's nothing for the residents of Newark. And originally, I sat on a committee, and I was the public representative. Mm-hmm. You know, I was sort of a weird animal, a local preacher, but I and still am president of Newark North Jersey Committee of Black Churchmen. Mm-hmm. That office elected to when the late Dr. Edward Verner, who was a medical doctor as well as a preacher, the late Willie Simmons, and we could go on and on and on and on. These were the guys that I sort of cut my teeth. I was their briefcase carrier. And so saying to somebody young, don't be ashamed to carry the briefcases. You get in the same room.
Oh, yeah.
You get the wisdom.
That's the way.
And when your time comes, you get to take the ball and
run with it.
That's right. And what we were going to do, or what they had proposed to Larry Goldman and company, was that they were going to build a sky bridge across 21.
Right.
They were going to put kiosks there, and it was going to become a park for the people, because one of the things that we had talked about that I was also part of the committee when they were looking at building NJPAC, and one of the promises that was made to the community that there would be so many tickets given to the community. Now, that never came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
The other problem is, as they talk about shutting down the places where Newarkers could go, like Symphony Hall and places like that, NJPAC was never the place. It was not built for the people of Newark. And to this day, the reason that it doesn't have, quote unquote, the financial problems, and I'm not mad at Larry Goldman because he gets $780,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
but this administration, with all that they're cutting, haven't touched the $10 million that NJPAC gets as a subsidy.
Yeah.
They don't even talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can chop up schools. Cory Booker doesn't talk about that. Mm-hmm. You know, they can chop up schools. They can do whatever they want to the residents of Newark. And so for Prudential to say we want to do something, my question is, what do you really do for the residents of Newark?
Of Newark. Well, one thing, you know, if they're going to be building this, remember Governor Corzine,
mm-hmm.
you know, he was one that signed the construction business, you know, becoming, in other words, for publicly financed buildings in the state of New Jersey.
Right.
And Gus was very involved in this. You have to have a minority workforce. You have to have a diversified workforce. Not only white men working in construction, as has been the case. As a matter of fact, we used to go around, Gus and I, to, you know, see the various sites, you know, and with the construction of the infrastructure around in Newark, you would never see a black person working in construction. In construction, I always wondered, wow, these are some fantastic jobs. But what Gus did was, with this, he had this, he put on the pressure.
Gus was there
and now
with the
it
big
has
companies.
To have, yeah, it has to. They have. It has to have publicly financed buildings. Has to have a diversified workforce, meaning not only white men, but women, blacks, Latinos, et cetera, et cetera. Okay.
Right. Well, one of the things that I found, Kay, is that first of all the contractors must be union.
Yeah.
And
yes.
So that alone leaves a lot of minorities
That's a problem
out.
For minorities.
And
That's right.
And here was the other piece of it. What they did, and I'm thinking of some of the construction that went on downtown Newark,
mm-hmm.
what they did, they would bring a person in when the compliance officers came by.
Mm-hmm.
And when the compliance officers came by, there would be a black face.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that you ask the guy, where'd you live? And I don't begrudge anybody for making a living, but he lived in Bergen County. So
yeah.
they sort
yeah.
of brought him in. You know, for the union hall.
Yeah.
If you remember, and I know Gus does, because Gus was one of the people that pointed it out to so many folk. And I'm hearing folks probably saying that's listening to this, wasn't that guy in management? Yes, but I came up through the union ranks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my daddy worked in a foundry. My mama cleaned folks' houses.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand labor,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and was part of it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I've done everything from landscaping to washing toilets in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand it. You know, people look at you, they see the glory, but they don't know the story.
And
the reality was that when they were building the casinos in Atlantic City, what they would do is they would bring in, because there were brothers and sisters that could really paint well. And so the union would bring them in and they hit the numbers. That was wonderful. But once the job stopped, once they got the casinos painted, there was no more work for
no
them because they said
them.
To
yeah.
them,
yeah.
oh, you weren't really a painter class A. You were a painter class A1.
Oh, boy.
And so mm-hmm. they got around some things. And even with the school construction,
yes.
I was part of the
PSE&G yeah.
group
yeah. Mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
sat at that table. We used to meet at City National Bank
mm-hmm.
and talk about, you know, the folks. The other thing was that was against minority contractors. You had to have at least a $25 million bond.
Mm.
And we don't have the money
yeah,
to buy
absolutely.
That kind of insurance.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't that we were not capable of doing the work. It wasn't that we couldn't do the work or perform.
Mm.
We couldn't afford nor had the assets to do the work.
Yeah.
And so that was a big problem
and
for everybody.
And on these big jobs, of course.
That's
now,
correct.
I wonder what's going to be happening with this whole construction of Prudential down there. That's going to be across from New Jersey Performing Arts Center, because I understand that that's supposed to be helping the Performing Arts Center have money coming in because they were supposed to have been, you know, self-sufficient after a number of years, according to Tom King.
Well,
so we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting.
Well,
look at Prudential Arena. That has a diversified, group working on that, because I know the Gus had worked on that.
Yeah, Gus worked on that, but I was part of the team that worked inside the corporate world looking at the feasibility
of it,
of it, and how much money it would make. And as you know, to this day, the arena hasn't paid the city of Newark one red cent.
What is this with the housing development authority down there?
I
said the housing development was with Keith Kennard and Karen Torian down there.
Well, they were supposed to be the best and the brightest.
Yeah.
My thing is, and folks say you're always beating up on Corey. There's an old saying, you can tell, the fruit by the tree it fell from. My thing is, if you're not going to put the people to work, and I really believe that until you can actually look at the folk that you really govern, it's one thing to put up a trophy here and a trophy there. But if the city is still broke, if the residents of the city cannot work,
and there
if the education,
so many people need jobs.
That's right. If the education piece is not there, now there's a piece that the community must do also.
Yeah.
Because, you can't get a job if you're not qualified for the job. And the other thing our brothers and sisters must understand, that education is key. I used to do career days at high schools, and I would walk in, and they didn't need to know what school I went to. I said, look, y'all, I drive a nice ride, I live in a nice house, and I get paid, and ain't nobody shooting at me, and nobody's looking to take my product. Well, and the reason I can get paid is because I graduated from somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I can read, I can write, I understand what I read, and until we start putting that in the heads of our children.
And, talking about education, now when we mentioned Gus, I'm talking about Gus Hannaford, who used to be the host of Positively Black, everyone.
Yes.
And I was over there on LIB and down at New Jersey Network and at Channel 47.
Hey.
And all those kinds of things. By the way, I have a part one and a part two of an interview that I was the host of when I was doing New Jersey's press conference at Channel 47 with Gil Noble and Gus Hennenberg, talking about the run for the presidency by Jesse Jackson.
Wow, now
and
that is,
and we're going to make that available on our website, part one and part two. You should hear it. As a matter of fact, maybe I'll let you hear it and see it before we
I'd love it,
and
then I want a copy of it. I have to have one. I mean, I'm a historical nut when it comes to our people.
We have over 28, well, in Gus's case, 30, but over 28 years of interviews, television and radio.
Wow.
So with what he's done and with what that's what we're preparing now. We did the tapes, we did the shows, and now we are transferring them to DVDs to go on our website.
Well, Gus was the greatest, and I don't have to say this, but Gus was one of the greatest brains when it came down to people. Gus was a think tank in himself.
Yeah.
And then he didn't have a problem fighting the establishment.
Exactly.
And it's funny, and you who knows better than you, if Gus got a little angry, he would just kind of poke his lip out a little bit and a little mustache would come out, and you could tell that Gus wasn't happy. And those of us that were young around the table said, just watch what Mr. Hennenberg does. Follow his lead. And so, he and the late Dr. Werner and others, they were men, and Gus still is. They are men of integrity. And what folks don't understand, and I know you're getting ready to go to break, is that it's all right to take a position and fight for what you believe
in. That's right. Only, I'm looking at the time, only because of the fact that I want you to talk about being a chaplain and being involved with minority recruitment from the state police. I remember the state police during the Florio administration. We have some stuff to talk about with that.
All right.
Okay, stay with us, everyone. We will be right back.
The way I move through scenes, I'm like a preacher that once was a fiend. A story of change that came with wings.
pretty as the skyline. The sky is my ally. Son of the most, so from up high, I shine. Suited and proud, I stay mellow like Lala. Young, fresh with Dala. Ladies go gaga. I'm the cum laude. Top of the class. Black Wall Street, so my stock will never crash. Given what I ask, pure religion and cash. For the windows that open, I'm raising my glass. Daylight beams, nightlight schemes. This is my inception, I'm writing my dreams. Immortal view of a star doing what I'm born to do. I see the blue sky, say the Lord's coming through.
Oh, in the sky we'll find the night. Oh, angel high will shine at night. Now in the sky,
it all started with a dream. I wanted to be Run DMC. The Lord put the blessing upon DMC. O to the M, dreams were spoken to him. That's when I knew my flows would overflow to the rim. Open my eyes. Yes, sir, this is what I made for. To go hard in the paint like D-Wade or D-Rose. From the same streets that we rose. International heroes at world primos. Red carpet magic, taking pictures with the president. Showed them for healthcare. My music is the medicine. My name holds weight. I am never hesitant. Different state resident. This is good elegance. SLS classic. Pursuing my passion. No for fashion. Now I can party crashing. Immortal view of a star doing what I'm born to do. I see the blue sky. Say the Lord's coming through. Coming through. Coming through. Coming through.
In the sky we'll find the light. Oh, and you have no shine at night. We'll be the sky.
Silhouettes of dreams that we had high. Even now it don't seem so bad, ma. Close my eyes, see things in front of me. I'm gone now, imagine what I'm gonna be. Dirty to worthy, now I'm all worthy. I'm brought up in Paris, looking all purdy. I'm born a few of a star, doing what I'm born to do.
And we are back, everyone. We are back. I'm Kay Thompson, and this is Kay and Gus Show. And we are joined who's right here in the studio with me, Bishop Jethro James, who is the senior pastor of Paradise Baptist Church. He spent his years in earlier years in Powhatan, Virginia. And we've been going over a few things that we both know about Powhatan and Tazewell, Virginia, and Richmond, Bluefield, you know,
yes,
Hampton
ma'am.
University, Virginia State, and all that sort of thing, you know. And you are now, with all your accolades, and you are a bishop.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, so how does that work in the church?
Well, it's...
That means what? Tell me.
It means that you're equivalent to...
Now, I do have to talk to you about the state police, so, you know... Just
right, all right. I'm just going to give you 2 minutes of that.
Okay.
It means that you should have proven yourself. You have worked in the church, doing the work, quote-unquote. A bishop is considered a prince of the church. It's an elevation that is not to be taken lightly, although some folks carry labels and they pay some money and they get it. I mean, it's like anything else. But if to be a true bishop, you should have a legacy of work behind you.
Within the church,
okay. Within the sphere of the church. Mm-hmm. And so it had been offered to me about 5 years earlier, and I didn't feel I was worthy of it. And a bunch of churches came together that I had helped, and a bunch of organizations came together. Their leaders said, "You're doing the work of a bishop, overseeing churches, helping young pastors, helping mentor young men and women, putting them in, making sure they're going to the right schools, mm-hmm. Giving them advice, advising churches and pastoral searches, working with congregations, putting in place ministries in other churches other than my own." And they came together in four different organizations that have bishops came together and said, "We are going to make you a prince of the church."
So do you as a bishop preside over what other churches or what happens?
I preside over other churches. However, they still have the independence. We're in a congregational style governing system.
I see.
And so the congregation has final say. I can't just come in and say, "Joe's out and you know, Harry's in.
I see.
But I'm sort of almost like the legal advice, the epistolary advice that you get.
Okay. You know, I'm going to give the number out for people to call just in case they have questions to ask of you, or if they want to make a comment about the state police in New Jersey, New York, or anyplace else. 323-679-0906 is the number for you to call in here at the Kay and Gus Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We are on the air for from 8 until 9 every Wednesday, and we will be bringing more and more programming of things that you will want to hear about. So the number once again for you to call in, everyone, is 323-679-0906. Once again, 323-679-0906. Now, Bishop James, you are serving as chaplain for the Newark Police and the New Jersey State Police Department. And you have been appointed by the Supreme Court of the state of New Jersey to serve as a member of the Attorney Legal Ethics Committee. And
yes,
I was
ma'am.
Also a member of the Ethics Committee at one time. I was serving as a...
So you know what that's all about.
That's right. Yeah, judging on lawyers, you know.
That's right.
You know, anyway, we'll go into that another time. But anyway, tell me about this recruitment that's going on with African-American males and females.
That is correct.
Within the New Jersey State Police, who have been beating heads for a long period of time. I don't have happy thoughts about the state police.
Well, you know, most of us don't. The pastor, Reginald Jackson, who is the president of the Black Ministers Council of New Jersey. And I need to say this, that the parent of the Black Ministers Council of New Jersey is Newark North Jersey Committee of Black Churchmen. We sort of handle things on the local level, and Reggie took them on the state and national level.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was that when we identified the racial profiling that was in the state police, they're under a consent order. Part of the consent order is that they need to recruit more African Americans. Now, there is a young man who's a major in the state police, and you don't get to be an African-American major.
Is that the young man who's coming on next week?
That's the young man, yes, Gerald
and
Lewis.
And he's a major?
He's a major, a full major.
And what is his name?
Gerald Lewis, Major Gerald Lewis. And the funny thing is, this is a kid that grew up in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
His mama still has a beauty shop on Clinton Avenue. She still does press and curl.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's, okay. Some of the older women will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay.
He was an athlete. His grandmama, Jerry tells the story that his grandmama made him go into state police. Young man, educated,
mm-hmm.
But he couldn't swim.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll kick you out of the academy. You have to be able to swim. Somebody said, why do I have to swim? If a car goes off a bridge and somebody's in the water, you've got to hit the water.
Can he swim now?
Oh, he wouldn't be a major.
Right.
So he went back three times.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of times you can't let something beat you. But the reality is that when you look at some of the things that were said in the newspaper, even by an African-American female who I've met with, the Attorney General Paula Dow, young lady who my organization, the Preachers, fought for to keep her on as the prosecutor of Essex County, when they were going to throw her out, we went to war for her and stayed. Mm-hmm. And I need to say this to any clergy that may be listening, to brothers and sisters of the clergy. The late Reverend Dr. C.L. Franklin in Detroit said this. He said, if the pulpit is silent, the people will listen to anybody. We know that everything that was major that was launched in this country, from civil rights to schools to whatever, started in and with the black church.
Yes, it is.
And so I reminded Paula said something that I said was disingenuous in the newspaper, that the African American community should have better candidates. We're not asking anybody to lower the standards.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember when they let us get in baseball, the standards went up. When you let us start inventing things and accepted our inventions, I can talk about a peanut man. you know that things went up.
That's right.
Everything that we have touched, God has blessed us to raise the standard. And there's no question about it. From the brown bomber, help me, Holy Ghost,
yes.
Now. I'm preaching to somebody now.
Yes,
from the brown bomber, Joe Lewis, you have to remember, to the fastest man in his time on earth. And then they backed him up with an Indian that could run by the name of Thor and could jump hurdles. Now, y'all need to quit playing with us. We have always...
Don't forget the Tuskegee Airmen.
Oh, please, let's not fly or die. As a matter of fact, there's a group that I'm a member of that is the Association of American Blacks in Energy, and the Tuskegee Airmen were part of that group.
Then you know of Dr. Walter Alexander.
Yes, I do.
I was just talking to his wife and his
daughter yesterday. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Just passed.
Yeah, so, you know, there's some of the folk that I have met in my lifetime, and Kay, I don't want to get away from the state police, because I know we got about 5 minutes to
break.
But
you're coming back next week also.
Right. So,
all right.
But I had put together a piece in our church, and I got at that time Gerald Lewis was a captain, and I got another brother by Frank Davis. He's a captain getting ready to retire, raised up in Little Bricks, did 2 years in the military, 4 years in the military, came home and made the state police, but raised in Little Bricks. So don't tell me you can't make it in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
And this young man is retiring as a captain.
Wow.
After 25 years of service. The reality is this, that we got a group together. We brought in the Newark Fire Department because they had both males and females. We brought a group of sisters and brothers together in the church. We had about 50 or 60 folk. You needed, if you just came out of the military, you needed 30 college credits to even fill out an application, as well as working toward an associate degree. If you're not, if you don't have military background, you need 60 credits, an associate degree, and then you can start toward a degree. The more money, the higher you go in the education sphere, the more money you can make.
So can some of the military, of the men and women who have been in the military, would they be eligible for jobs?
Excellent candidates for the academy.
Wow.
You
no
know,
kidding.
Your record has to be squeaky clean.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't be what I call a weekend warrior. The weekend warrior is the dude, and I can say this from the church. No, if you're smoking reefer, no, you can't get in.
Okay.
If you got to have a 40 ounce, no, you can't get in.
How can they go about even getting the application or finding out more information? What has to be done?
Well, they're gonna have to listen to Kay and Gus. That's what they're gonna have to do.
Okay.
And they can contact, if you're serious, our website at Paradise Baptist Church, or you can just contact the church phone number, 973-924-6614.
All right. So those of you who are interested in becoming a state trooper, a New Jersey state trooper, why don't you just call to see if you qualify? And you can call this number at Paradise Baptist Church.
That's correct.
And talk to Bishop James. And the number there is 973-624-6614. 973, everyone. 624-6614. Let me tell everyone also this, Bishop James, and that is the fact that we have to go for another break. But also, you're going to be back here next week with Reverend Bartley from a church in Elizabeth in Union County, because they were doing recruitment there.
Right.
And also with the major, or what?
Major Gerald Lewis.
Major
of the New Jersey State Police.
Okay, so we're going to find out more than these. We're talking about jobs. We'll be right back, everyone. Stay with us.
Talking about careers.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm taking my freedom, pulling it off the shelf, putting it on my chain, wearing it round my neck. I'm taking my freedom, putting it in my car, wherever I choose to go. It won't take me far. Living my life like a golden, living my life like a golden, living my life like a golden.
that's what I want to be when I grow up. I'm going to be a singer. You know that?
I hear you.
Yeah, I always wanted to be a singer. I want to drape myself over the piano. Like, who would I saw Nancy Wilson one time, and she said, guess who I saw last night? Remember?
I did some drumming in my life, and I'm in the Music Hall of Fame. So really, I'm serious.
I'm really
the original gospel highlight. I played on James Cleveland, Shirley Caesar, Clouds of Joy, and then I did a few for Al Green.
I didn't know.
Yeah, back in the day, in the early '60s, you had to be a member of the Musicians Union.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if you can play, you can just come in a place, and so they were closed places. So they would go to the Apollo, and we finish out the gospel show, and maybe Al Green was headlining the next show, and there were no drummers that had union cards, so
you were all just How about the gospel fest going on at Prudential? You know, Gus and I were there a couple times, and I mean that place was sold out. I've never seen anything like it.
But that's because they give tickets to the churches at a discount, and that's the only thing we have.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What else do we have in Newark?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and so if you bring us a gospel fest 2-3 times a year at NJ Pack, they'll give us a Martin Luther King celebration, and maybe, you know, a company like PSE&G will give up some tickets if not. But what else do we have?
Yeah. I remember over at the Apollo Theater, you know, not the gospel fest over there, but
the gospel shows.
Yeah, the gospel shows were tremendous.
Oh, yeah. You could see everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. We're dating ourselves.
Yeah, I know, I know.
But I, let me get back to the state, the state police.
Yes,
one of the things that we're doing in the preparation part, because you have to have the academic part, that we had done, and that's why I perhaps you remember in the newspaper I said that state police appeared to be disingenuous. And out of the class that's in there now, there are only 2 African Americans still left in the class. So I really have
what
a
happened? They weren't able to pass the exam or
Well, you can get hurt. You can come back within a year, and the major will explain all that probably next week.
Okay.
But you know, sometimes we do stupid things.
Yeah.
You need a decent credit rating.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing that keeps our people out. And I can say this knowing that kids.
Why do they have to have a decent credit rating? Owe anybody any money at all?
No, that's not true. That's not true. Each one is a case by case basis. The other thing was that as I said, I had brought in the fire department, the brothers and sisters from the fire department, because women need to see women.
Yeah.
One of the baddest women, you know, no disrespect intended, is about 135, 140 pounds. Little sister that looks like she could be kin to UK, all beautiful and all that. She's a lieutenant now. She will wear your butt out, you know. And so don't think you got to be this big bruiser, you know. You just have to have the brains and know your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, who's following her? That's the question.
Yeah.
The other thing is there are over 200 careers in the state police. You do 2 years.
No kidding. Really?
Oh, a trooper at maximum pay is making over $109,000 a year right now.
Are you serious? What?
Very serious.
Wow.
But you don't want to just be a trooper. With rank comes dollars.
Yes.
And so I would dare say you get up about captain, you're looking at about $200,000.
How old do you have to be?
You have to be between 21 and 35 by the time you get out of the academy.
I see.
It's mandatory retirement at 55. Mm-hmm. If you get in real early, you can do 25 years and go out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's real interesting, depending on how long you've been in, but you have to go at 55, you can wind up with 70% of your salary.
Wow.
So just imagine, you know, you're going into that second career. As a matter of fact, I know someone that's retiring, a captain. His retirement is going to be in the $70,000-ish range.
No kidding.
And from there, he's going to take a job in corporate America dealing with security. You come out with that. I mean, and I'm talking about people that look like you and I.
Okay? Yeah.
You know, you can almost name your own price, but you have to be real and you have to prepare yourself. One of the things that I do when I'm talking to the folk, as I said, when I have the fire department, all of them, because they have to tell you, you need to run. You need to get your body in shape.
Yeah.
You need to get your mind in shape. But the other piece of it is, first thing, I brought them in because they were local. They know what you have to go through. If you can pass their tests, you're pretty much are going to be all right in the physical piece.
Yeah.
Your day is planned. Every moment of your day starts at 5 o'clock in the morning.
In the morning. And, wow.
And you go 5 days a week.
How long is the training?
I believe it's 26 weeks.
26 weeks.
You,
wow. Terrific.
The stipend is roughly $888 every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know. You have to know how you're going to pay your bills. That's,
yes.
That's a trick question, you know. And so if you have a mortgage and, you know, nobody's, you're the breadwinner, how are you going to go in the academy and
yeah.
pay your mortgage? There's all kinds of little tricks to that. And Major will be able to tell you most of it. But my thing was getting you mentally and physically ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so I brought in people that had like jobs. You know, we said things that we can say because it wasn't on, you know, a place where everybody was looking. And I found out that you have to be real with people. You know, I tell folks I wasn't always a preacher, you know, and even now I still have to pray for forgiveness
mm-hmm.
because there are some folks you just want to choke the life out of, you know. But the reality is there has to be a voice that talks to the folks. For example, something jumped off in Newark a couple of months ago. Two dead bodies by my church. State police chased. Kids were wrong for running. And they got speeds on Newark 15th Avenue in excess of 100 miles an hour.
Mm.
Now, car went airborne, body in front of the church, body on the corner. The car blew up and kid burnt to death, but he was in a police chase behind running the toll.
Mm-hmm.
Just dumb stuff. I went to the colonel in charge of the state police and said, look, it's true that I carry your badge and I carry your ID as a chaplain, but I need to know what does the report say. And they had stopped chasing them on South 8th Street,
mm-hmm.
as you know, which is a good little ways from Bergen Street, but these kids never got off the gas. Now, the reality is somebody has to call in the question. What you did, how you did it, and if it's not right, you know, there were still deaths. You have to do that. But getting people ready, I want candidates that they can't find any fault with.
Yes.
Quit playing with me and saying that the African-American community, and that was the quote that was in the newspaper just last week. It came out of the attorney general's office, a black woman, said that the African-American community has to find better candidates. Well, I think maybe where you're looking for them, you know, that's like saying, you know, let's go to Harlem, USA, and let's see if we can find a good Jewish deli.
Mm,
you
I
know,
see.
And,
yeah.
And so we need to understand that right now we're working with Essex County College because
mm-hmm.
I asked the question, well, where are you advertising?
Yeah.
And they said, well, we're down over here. You know, we're looking over there. And I said to them, how come, you know, we have hookups in Essex County College? I know Sheila from the time that, you know, we go back to high school together. And so when you look at where you're looking, you look at where you're looking,
mm-hmm.
you look at, you
you're
know.
You're talking about Sheila Oliver.
I'm talking about Sheila Oliver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
Speaker,
yeah,
of,
speaker
the
of the House. Let
yeah,
me,
people
and,
know that.
And we go back to doing social work together.
Mm-hmm.
I still hold my state license in social work.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, she and Senator Rice and others were at the church just last week talking about this UMDNJ thing
mm-hmm.
with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I want you to know that some of us in the community are going to hold your feet to the fire. You know, and that's
exactly.
the reality because
exactly.
we have qualified candidates. And so what I'm doing, I'm compiling a list of those who should be qualified. The reality was that we had about 30 folks that we had pre-screened. And when they went on, because you have to do an application online, when they went to NJSP, NJ New Jersey, whatever that website is for the state police,
yeah.
they said, we're not taking any more applications. And that to me was an insult. The time, not just my time, but the time that the people put in preparing themselves, and you don't even let us get in the ballpark to take a swing. How dare you? And then make a statement in the press that we don't have qualified candidates.
What are you going to do about that?
Well, the first thing that we're doing about it, we got them in the church. That's
uh-huh.
the first thing. Second thing, we're monitoring some things, and we're not going to let this go.
Uh-huh.
And if it means that we've got to jump on Christie, the black legislators, and
Well, you have access to us here. And I know when I talk to Gus tomorrow, he will, as a matter of fact, a little while, he will agree to this also. So anytime that you want to come on for us to talk about this, because it's that, this is that important. Let me tell you something, Bishop. When my son was getting ready to go to school, and it was at Hampton Institute, I had to, for the first time in my life, tell my son that if a state police person, because everything was hitting the fan then, you know, it was viciousness from the state police at one time. And I remember those days, and I had to tell my son, Eric, I said, Eric, if a police person stops you, don't say anything.
That's right.
Do not lose your temper. Do not even say anything. Just, you know, just cool it. See if you can make a call. If not, do not do anything. You know how painful that is?
Well,
that's
putting
the skids on his, you know.
I've been there.
I hated that. How dare they put me in that position and a whole lot of other black women also.
How dare they put, we knew that if the lights lit up behind you.
Yeah.
Pull over and put your hands on the dash and don't move.
And why do we have to do that just because you are black and driving in the state of New Jersey? In the country, as a matter of fact.
You're right.
So you need more blacks and Latinos on the force. You need more women also. I'd like to see a lot. But, you know, we want to help you with that.
I'm going to accept your help.
Okay. I want to help you with that. Okay. We'll be right back, I think. We're going to be right back. And I'm Kay Thompson. And Gus Hedenberg is still with us. Of course, he is, listening in. And I want to thank Bishop Jethro James. He'll be back next week with more information. We're going to be staying on the story, everyone. Stay with us. We will be right back to close out.
Shaking hands. Around 10:30 on that dreary night, his voice is a hurry, one to get by. Not against any runner, I saw no one right, but he stayed in anyway, trying to get the chain light. Ooh, how the shots rang in the street, hitting everybody in the surrounding vicinity. Children of children, one young father to be. And my school lay dead on my North End street. At 15 years old, it was the first death I've seen. But in years to come, there'd be many, many. Well, the flame trying to win at the game, but the game ain't designed for no kind of winning. And oh, this is a friend that rocks through, begging you to think about what you do and who you call your crew. The very choices you make may make a rock through out of you. Now you don't want that, do you? You don't want that, do you?
And we are back, everyone. Kay Thompson here from the Kay and Gus Show. Kay Thompson and Gus Hedenberg. And I want to say thank you to Bishop Jethro James, from the senior pastor. Pastor, rather, of Paradise Baptist Church, which is located in Newark, and we want you to call this number at the church to find out about the recruitment for you, if you're interested in being a member of the, you know, of the New Jersey State Police. And that number, once again, Bishop.
973-624-6614. Just follow the prompts.
Okay, once again.
973-624-6614.
Okay, and thank you so much. And I see Gus right there.
Yeah, looking at
he
him.
Is, yeah. And we're going to be back next week, and we're going to do this again and again until we start getting people interested in this. And we're going to give a lot of play. I'm personally involved now.
All right.
Okay. So So come back again, and you know, thank you for coming. Thank you for being here, and everyone, thank you for listening. Make sure you join us every Wednesday here on K and the Gus Show. You can blog us. You can go to Blog Talk Radio, and then you type in the K and the Gus Show, and we'll give you a closer look at a lot of issues, a lot of topics that you should know about, and from all over the country, as a matter of fact. So we'll join you again next Wednesday. I'm Kay Johnson.
Yeah, a touch of jazz, y'all. Madams is hoping it, y'all. Y'all, they got us on the front line.
8 minutes to sunrise, oh, baby, now what are we gonna do?
I don't know, no.
Pressure at mountain, oh, baby, now how we gonna get through?
I don't know.
Can't go left, can't go right. Don't know how we made it through the night.
Come on.
7 minutes to sunrise, oh, baby, now what are we gonna do?
Do it. It was once said by Black Thought that things fall apart. Knew I shouldn't have been messing with dudes, girl, from the start, but I fell from the heart. The art of it made it interesting. Plus me and Sister Blend before we got intimate. Friends or no friends. My man called when this chick is paying me. It'll either cost me or cost him. Told her she should have lost him a while ago. To do the drinking pile of mo at the Fowler, Joe. I ain't here to start on this. For me, the record's broad. You can tell what I thought of this. Nickname for Smoke. Don't know if that was cuz of cigarettes or guns he told. He called shots on the jack, so I wasn't trying to call his bluff. But I could sign her, you could see it's tough. If that wasn't enough, old girl had his son. This is wild like the West. I'm like Jesse on the run.
6 minutes to sunrise, oh, baby, now what are we gonna do?
I don't know. No.
Pressure is mounted, oh, baby, now how we gonna get through?
I don't know.
Can't go left. Don't know how we made it through the night. 5 minutes to sunrise, oh, baby, now what are we gonna do?
I understand the time is running out. I'm thinking the town skipping. Got a Chevy, but the alternator be tripping. I'm hitting rum straight, thinking up around some truncated streets. Watching out this one way, I put myself in this night. His position is I, man. Somebody boning my lady, probably snap like Rye, man. My plan was to meet at this bar called the Tiki. Round four, when she was coming, she was in the corner, drinking zombies, becoming one by now, wondering if my style was the poor her and a child. Out the corner of my eye, saw the stud I recognized. When the smoke got, stay out of sight, I tried. Told Jill Scott to meet, we could have picked a better spot. On some nobody supposed to be here, like Deborah Cox. Looked at my watch, I don't even got a watch, fell from my clock. Damn it, I don't even got a clock, yo.
4 minutes to sunrise, oh, baby, now what are we gonna do?
I don't know, no.
Pressure is mounted, oh, baby, now how we gonna get through?
I don't know.
Can't go left, can't go right. Don't know how we made it through the night.
Come on.
3 minutes to sunrise, oh, baby, now what are we gonna do?
Pressure for pressure, what? The pressure's cooking. It ain't good looking. Like a Black promoter, I'm talking book. And I'm, dude, I could whoop him. But he was on the horn informing the rest of the puzzle. Usually I wouldn't fight over a woman. Old girl had the sunshine. Was messed up. One smoked payroll was one time. I paid you it off. It read one line. Some hit you.